Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com and this study in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, verses 8 and 9, titled Before the Angels. This is Pastor Greg, and we're glad you have joined us for the study of God's Word in our authorized King James Bible. If you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, you can send those to our email at bbfohio@protonmail.com. You can also send a letter along with any check or money order contributions in support of this ministry to Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. You can also donate at our website at bbfohio.com. And now we begin with a current events update and our study in Luke chapter 12, verses 8 and 9, titled Before the Angels. This is part 1 of 2.
Amen. So our current events update isn't about America, although there's plenty we could say, but we're going to look at China. China headline reviews in the news. China's state church preps for Antichrist worship. The state church is called the Three Self Church. Just a little historical information. There's a reason why our Constitution has the words... It does not have the words, by the way, separation or wall of separation of church and state. But that the idea is in the First Amendment that Congress shall pass no law establishing religion. What that means is Congress will not pass a law setting up a state church. Now, if you don't know this, you need to be clued in that you need to learn history. Amen. Our history is based on the fact that in places like England, now look at me, not the baby. Some of you, I guarantee if I gave you a test, would fail this. So it's information you need to know. You need to understand this country was built on freedom of religion. And that meant not having a state church so that as Baptists or non-denominational Christians or whatever you identify as, in other countries, you had to pay a tax that paid for the state church, which in England was the Church of England. In other places in the world, it's the Roman Catholic Church. When the founders established this country, they said, we're not going to have a state church. But do you know, before the Constitution was ratified, some of the states had state churches. In Virginia, Baptist preachers were beaten and imprisoned, in a couple cases killed, because they refused to get a license with the Episcopal Church, which was the Church of England in America, in Virginia, because Virginia had a state church. And most Americans are clueless about this. They don't understand when that Constitution was ratified, there were already places in this country, states, where you had to be part of the state religion or you had to pay a tax. And if you tried to preach outside of that state church, you could be imprisoned. And our people in this country, being clueless of those facts, don't really consider with any real gratitude what we have in this country. And so China has a state church called the Three Self Church. And then they have the underground church, which would be people like us. And they have to hide. So in Saudi Arabia, you trying to do what you do every Sunday here, and if you're trying to pass out gospel tracts and all that, it gets your head cut off in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
Today. And other countries, it's the same way. In Afghanistan, where our country went over and guarded their opium plants so they could have a drug trafficking scam over in Afghanistan, and our country pretended to be hunting down Osama bin Laden, and they're now handing over all of our military assets in Afghanistan to these Muslims who totally oppose everything we stand for. So you just need to open your eyes to what's gone on and is going on in this world and be thankful for the country you live in, even though our country's got its problems. God has spared us as Christians to give us freedom of religion, freedom to practice our religion. I could go on and on about that. But in China, they have ordered citizens to hunt down all religious books. And they're forcing their state churches to sing pro-communist songs. Wow. Now, people have asked, we don't sing patriotic songs in this church. We are patriotic, but I didn't come here to worship America. Amen. We worship Jesus Christ. So we don't sing about how wonderful America is, even though it's wonderful. I think my wife's wonderful. I don't get up here and sing about it. Why? Because this is about Jesus. This is the Church of Jesus Christ. We also don't go to the extremes that the Jehovah's Witnesses cult and a lot of fundamental Baptists are going. And that is where they act like everything about America is satanic. And they can't pledge allegiance to the flag or anything like this. Listen, that's a lie. Romans 13 says that those who accuse our government of being Satan's government, they are accusing God of being Satan, because Romans 13 says the government is ordained of God. And we are to obey our government, except as Peter says, when they require us to disobey God. That's when we obey God rather than man. But as long as my country is not requiring me to disobey God, then I will obey the law of the land. And we could, like I said, go on and on about that, and we don't have time to. But in China, China is a satanic government. Why? Because China was not ordained of God. It was established by death and murder. Yep. The Chinese await a government ordained by God. The Bible says God-ordained government is a minister to good. The Chinese government is not. So we can pray, but I think it's going to take to the second coming of Jesus Christ. But we can pray about China being restored to what they had before Mao. Amen. If you don't know what I'm talking about, study the history of China, the Chinese Revolution in about 1954, I think it was, somewhere in there, the Mao Revolution. Study the life of a fundamental Baptist named John Birch. Get to know how he was a martyr and that he was over there preaching the gospel and serving his country. It's an amazing story. But again, in China, this is what you get when you go to church. Look at that communist flag flying. And here, I'll go back and I'll read the lyrics. Without the Communist Party, there would be no new China. The party worked hard for the nation. The party was bent on saving China. And so forth. You know how they did that? They killed about 30 or 40, 50, 60 million people, according to who you ask. Yeah. Tens of millions of people murdered by the Mao Revolution and continue to be killed even since then. That's the Three Self Chinese Church Choir. They are taking applications. Revelation 13, 15 says, "And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed." Right now, that's what's being set up in China. That you will worship whatever the state tells you to worship, or you will, right now, as far as we know, that you lose your citizenship rights. You can be imprisoned. You lose your job. You lose your paycheck. You become destitute in China. And that's just setting up for what's coming with the Antichrist. Meanwhile, China's economy goes cashless to prep for the mark of the beast. Understand, there's 1.5 billion people in that country. Just by China doing this, you've got about 1/5 or thereabout of all the world's population prepared for. And this is going on all over the world, obviously. But they've gone as far as anybody else has. They're leading the way to the mark of the beast. This was a headline 2 days ago, or no, yesterday, actually. China takes steps to become first cashless society after COVID-19. Now, the reason they say after COVID-19 is because as a result of the restrictions of COVID-19, there's been a huge push toward digital money and establishing nothing, no more dollar bills in your wallet, no more coins in your pocket. And China is setting up some of their cities, which is, you know, as big as New York. And they set up these cities first, and then they'll take care of the rest of the country, setting them up to be cashless. You walk into a store, and if you don't have your little digital card, which right now will be a card, eventually it'll be a mark. If you don't have that, you won't be able to buy or sell. And of note to Americans, thanks to one Ohio senator, recently a lone senator in Congress, Sherrod Brown, has advocated for a digital dollar wallet to be incorporated in consumer stimulus packages. In other words, you're going to get your money from the government, it'll be digital. And once they can get everybody who's getting government money digital, and that would include not just the welfare folks, but anybody on Social Security or anything like that, you'll have to deal digitally. Analysts have said it is an idea taken right out of Mark Zuckerberg's playbook. Now, I can't remember what it's called, but Zuckerberg is using Facebook to also establish a digital coin system. You've already heard of, most of you heard of Bitcoin, and this whole blockchain thing that's really hard to wrap your brain around. But this is going on all over the world, and Facebook's getting this all set up. And so Sherrod Brown's pushing for the U.S. government to join them. But it actually looks a bit more like China's current stimulus plan. In other words, Sherrod Brown's version is more like the communist Chinese than it is even Zuckerberg. And, of course, that matches what we say is coming. Revelation 13:17, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. This is all setting the stage. The whole idea of vaccine passports would be part of that as well. Countries, you're not going to be able to buy, sell, or trade unless you have your vaccine passport. China is prepped for Antichrist and for war. Which again, if you believe your Bible, you know that's what we should expect. China's building more than 100 nuclear missile silos in the desert. This is from The Guardian. Satellite footage shows alarming development that signals possible expansion of nuclear capabilities. In a Newsmax article, some fear Chinese president's speech and a military magazine article point to war. Countries kind of forecast what they're about to do. They project it. And we call it among terrorists and terrorism, we call it chatter. You ever heard that? Chatter? That's what it means. People, you got to do a lot of planning, a lot of communicating, a lot of buzz before you do something. After a speech Thursday commemorating 100 years of communist rule in China by Xi Jinping. Now, they actually haven't ruled that long, but the party's that old. And a state military magazine article about mounting an invasion of Taiwan. Some are wondering if the Chinese government is gearing up for war. Listen, according to treaties and such, if they invade Taiwan, it's supposed to be a world war.
Yeah, amen.
Other countries have already said that if you invade Taiwan, we're coming after you.
Yep.
Now, why does that matter? Well, you've got a weakling, a dementia president, and these communists and Muslims only understand strength and power.
Yep.
So they see America like a wounded dog. They smell and taste blood. And so if we go to war because of weakness, then it'll be our kids, our young men, and probably women. They'll probably draft the women too if they're not already. That'll go to war.
Yeah.
And get ready for the body bags. Revelation 16:12 says, and the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river what? And the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the what? Might be prepared. Historically, Kings of the East is in reference to the Oriental nations and powers, which would, right now, China is the big one. And will be right up to the Second Coming. So the summary is the stage is being set. And we could go on and on with, like Mark just said, the size of their army matching what the Scripture says will be in the last days. And they're also a godless government, and probably at least 2/3 of the people are atheists. And so you also have a problem with the shortage of females. So the homosexual sodomite population is increasing. And I could go into some things about that that happen in wartime, that'll make war uglier. Again, the communists and the Muslims have another thing in common, is when they take prisoners, they sexually abuse them. Luke 12, we're going to read verses 8 and 9, titled, Before the Angels of God. Before the angels of God. Not before as in chronologically, but before as in the presence of the angels. Before the angels of God. Luke 12, verses 8 and 9. We're going to read both verses together. All right. If you're there, read with me. Also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. God's people say amen to that?
Amen.
So after reminding us of God's omniscience and care for each of us, and that's in the last study, previous study, Jesus now reminds us of the coming judgment. In verse 8, also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, that's you in your lifetime now, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. And that's going to happen at Judgment Day. What does it mean to confess Jesus before men? That's, we got to start there. What does it mean to confess Jesus? But it does not just mean you say, I love Jesus. That's good. You ought to love Jesus. But you know why that doesn't matter? Because just about everybody on the planet will say that. The question is, what do you mean by love and what do you mean by Jesus? That's the question. So when you confess Jesus, it should be something that matches your life and it should be about the right Jesus, the correct Jesus. Amen? Two of you convinced. Got my work cut out for me this morning. We'll go to do some scripture with scripture. Look at Romans 10, 8 through 10. This is a very familiar text in the Romans Road that a lot of you have used or been trained to use to preach the gospel and to lead people to the Lord. Romans chapter 10 verses 8 through 10 tells us in verse 9 it says, well, let's start at verse 8 like I said. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. I just want to clarify, that's not the word that you really believe real strongly. I have a lot of faith in my faith. That's not where, when it says the word of faith, it means what Romans also says in Romans 10, 17. You there, look down your Bible there to verse 17.
Amen.
So then faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So scripture with scripture, that's how you understand the Bible. And when you look at verse 17, you understand what it means in verse 8, that is the word of faith. What word of faith? The word of faith which comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Not something you conjure up in yourself, but something you've received from God. And that's why it says, which we preach. Now read verses 9 and 10 with me. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So it makes it clear here that it isn't just the fact that you say something with your mouth. You have to believe it in your heart. So if you confess the Lord Jesus, and it's coming from your heart, then with God, that counts. If not, it doesn't. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. What are you confessing? Look back at verse 9. It says, thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and it clarifies which Jesus we're talking about, shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead. So if your Jesus has never risen from the dead, then your Jesus is a false Jesus and any confession of that Jesus doesn't count.
Amen.
That's just what the Bible says. You must confess the biblical Jesus.
Amen.
The biblical Jesus is the Creator God. So if you believe in evolution and you don't believe in creation, then you don't have the right Jesus because you just rejected the right Jesus. The correct Jesus is your Creator.
Amen.
He's fully God and man. If your Jesus is not God in human flesh, you've got the wrong Jesus. God was manifest in the flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was...
God.
Who's the Word?
God.
Jesus. Jesus is the Word, and the Word was God, it says. In Isaiah 9, and it prophesied, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, and what? The Mighty... That's Jesus. You know how many Christians I've met who attend churches where all they get is blah, 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 a lot of hype and all that. And you talk to them about Jesus, they don't know the first thing about Him. And I've looked them in the eye and I talk about Jesus being God. There you go, in shock. No, no, He's the Son of God. Yes, He is. God begets God. God the Father begat His only begotten Son. And His only begotten Son is God. The Son. The Spirit, which cometh from the Father and the Son, is God. And Ananias and Sapphira, when they lied, Peter said, you haven't lied unto men, but unto God. What did he say before that? Why have you lied to the Holy Ghost? The Holy Ghost is God.
Amen.
That would be Father, Son, Holy Ghost, three, but there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. There's one God. So that would be the Trinity. And you have today more people are denying the Trinity.
Yeah.
If you deny the Trinity, you got the wrong Jesus. If you deny creation and you deny that Jesus is the Creator, you got the wrong Jesus. The biblical Jesus was born of a virgin and sinless. The seminarians and the scholars and the right-wing most high reverends and all those kind, they get up there and they deny the virgin birth. If you go to 2/3 of the seminaries in this country, they do not require a confession of faith in the virgin birth. See, our churches have been going to hell and they've done it in a way that most people are just totally unaware. Why do they do that? Well, first of all, those same people, if you talk to them long enough, you find out they believe in evolution and they don't really believe Jesus is the Creator. And they don't believe in miracles. And so the virgin birth is a miracle. I think most in the room are aware of that. Amen?
Amen.
Well, they throw out miracles, so you have to throw out the virgin birth. Well, if you throw out the virgin birth, you've got a Savior who's a sinner just like you and I, and He can't die for our sins. The Savior had to be born of a virgin because He could not be born with the stain of original sin.
Amen.
And then He lived a life that was sinless. Unlike all the other false messiahs who usually end up being fornicators like Muhammad and that sort of thing. Jesus was crucified. Now we'll come to that in a minute. You may say, well, that's kind of obvious. Well, some people, some religions, as a matter of fact, one of the three largest religions in the world denies that. He shed divine blood, thanks to people like John MacArthur. There's a lot of debate about that.
Yeah.
He was a substitutionary sacrifice.
Amen.
In other words, when He died on that cross, it wasn't to be an example. You didn't come to die for people's sins. He wasn't an example. He was a martyr, but He was more than a martyr. He was your substitute. He died in your place.
Amen.
Do you know, even among professing evangelicals, churches that claim to be born-again Christians are denying this doctrine?
Yep.
You find it a lot on the internet and the blogs, and you can find it in the theological treaties and that sort of thing. Denying substitutionary sacrifice. And Jesus was raised, the second word is key here, bodily.
Amen.
From the dead. Most of the cults and false religions who give lip service to a belief in a resurrection will then turn around and deny that He raised from the dead bodily.
Yeah.
So cults confess a false Jesus. When they say confess the Lord Jesus, if He's the Lord, then He's all the things we just listed.
Amen.
So when someone who's in one of these cults says He's the Lord Jesus, they don't mean what you and I mean when they say the Lord or Jesus. You know, words have to mean what they mean or they're no longer useful. So you take a word and you can pour a definition in it that is false, and suddenly that word becomes false. So when you talk to people, you have to ask them to define their terms. Ask them what they mean. I love Jesus. What do you mean by Jesus? Describe your Jesus to me. What do you mean? There's only one Jesus. Oh no. The Bible says there's many. Paul said he was afraid that if someone preached some other Jesus, that the church of Corinth would fall for it. And they have been for centuries. The Muslim Jesus, I put with a small J there, he's a created man named Isa who had an imposter crucified in his place. Did you know that? Muslims don't believe Jesus died on a cross. And if a Muslim tells you otherwise, they're contradicting their so-called prophet Muhammad. And by the way, he didn't rise from the dead, obviously, since he wasn't crucified in the first place. And they say, I believe in some of the Hadith writings or some of the other writings, they claim Judas was the one who was crucified.